Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And we got a good one planned for you. I'm coming in hot. Another day where selecting, I needed 4 hours. We probably could have gone even longer than that. So much to discuss, right? I think we're all familiar with what's going on in banking issues. We'll hit that up more in the market update, which is coming. we've had the Fed decision this week, and I think we've got another very prescient timing on the interviews. I think we got the perfect guest today. A guy that is a rare combo. I was telling the people on 770 AM this. Real rare combo of this guest, which is why I wanted to have him on. He's a guy that sat in the chair, managed a global hedge fund. I believe he still runs either an RIA or a hedge fund. But he's also worked at the Treasury. And that's a rare combination. And I think he's going to give us a lot of insight into what policymakers are thinking, how they're thinking about these issues. You know, what steps they may or may not take. So a guy by the name of Steve Mirren, just excited to have him on. It's going to be a very fascinating conversation. Goal, I think, is to air, I think we'll probably air 7 or 8 minutes of that on the show to end. And then, as always, you can hear the remainder of the interview on the podcast. And as always, guys, you're going to want to hear what this guy has to say. I don't think you're going to hear an interview that is more prescient and has more to do with what's currently going on today, even on somewhere like CNBC, right? And the reason I say that is this is not a guy with a huge profile, so he doesn't have to go out there and talk his book, right? He can be honest about his assessments about what he sees going on in markets and all that kind of stuff. Plus, he's got the background of working at the Treasury. You're going to want to hear it. And if you want to hear, and if you're going to hear it, go to Know Your Risk Radio podcast and then subscribe. The more subscribers we have, the better interviews we get. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons we got Steve. The downloads keep growing. The subscribership keeps going. So even if you don't like me, if you want to hear these guys, do us a favor. And we don't make any money off the show, right? We don't make any money off podcasts. It's just, you know, a lot of these guys will come on. I mean, we've got enough downloads and we're big enough to where we can get people on. But the more, you know, the more people we have, more downloads, more subscribers, more people want to come on. So anyway, let's get in the market update. So what is the big issue? We'll get into the banks, and I don't want to get too deep into the banks because it's a conversation that's going to be much more fruitful when Steve's involved in it, just because of his involvement in the Treasury and all that kind of stuff. So let's talk Fed decision. If you guys have been listening to this show for a long time, you've heard me beat on the Fed over and over. The reason why I do, the cause of my ire was on full display this week. Okay, so what they hiked 25 basis points. I think it is one of the most gutless and feckless Fed decisions I have ever heard in my life. No, it is the most gutless and feckless Fed decision I've ever heard personally in my career. And why do I say that? Let's look at the problems. Here's the other thing, guys. And I don't have an answer to this question. I'm going to ask Steve this question. He didn't work at the Fed, so he may not be able to answer it. But there is only one reason. The other thing that blew me away about the Fed decision, again, for those of you who don't know, they hiked 25 basis points. I was not surprised, as I said last week. That's what the market priced in. There's only one time in the last 25 years that the Fed has made an interest rate decision that the market hadn't priced in. And when we say priced in, the market had priced bonds according to a 25 basis point hike. That was the positioning. So the market was saying, hey, the Fed's going to hike 25. Just think about this. Now, this is a supposedly independent, non-political group of people, which is supposed to give them the independence to make the right decisions, right? And yet, in a situation like this where you're looking at a potential run on banks, right? You're looking at massive stress in credit markets. And when I say massive stress in credit markets, guys, we are seeing interest rate volatility and interest rate moves that we have never seen before, right? Credit Suisse is down. Deutsche Bank is now on the ropes, okay? That's what's causing this. And the Fed raised 25 basis points, which enhances those financial problems. So why did they raise 25 basis points? Well, let's look at their history. Over 25 years, and it may extend longer than this. I just look back over the last 25. The Fed has made one interest rate decision, one, that was not priced in by the market. So the first question I would have is, why do we need them? Just let the market price it in. What's the point? Then the other question I've got, and I think this is the more important question, why? The problem is in credit markets and at the banks. If that's the problem, why hike 25? Because here's my point. The issues that you have in the market right now, and we talked about this last week, but now we've got the, I want to address it again because we got the hindsight of the Fed decision here. Okay, the inflation is the issue of the day. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. Again, if you've been listening to this show for any period of time, what have we been saying for years? We've said that this game, this 0% money printing game, constantly stimulating the economy, it can last until inflation shows up. Because there's only, I've said this so many times, guys, and it's not because I'm a sage or a prophet. It's because I sat back in my chair for 45 minutes in a quiet room and thought it through. Okay? Who owns the majority of bonds? Financial institutions. All right, when you spend 15 years at 0% interest rates, you get record low bond yields. What happens to bonds when interest rates go up? They go down. So you're going to blow a hole in the side of financial institutions' balance sheets. You're going to disrupt credit markets. And that's kind of a problem here in the United States because we are a debt-driven economy to a magnitude certainly the most in the world. There's no other country in the world that is more reliant on financing and debt in their economy. Okay? So at some point, when that debt, which is the underlying foundation of the financial system, it's what everybody owns on their balance sheets, it's all that kind of, when that debt starts losing 10, 20, 30% of its value, it's going to cause a problem, which is created when interest rates go up. So let's now look at the Fed decision. The problem you've got is inflation because of the last 15 years, which crescendoed over the last two and a half, three. Right, with all the COVID money and stimmies and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so you got to attack inflation. But doing so is blowing up the bond market, which is causing all the problem. So raising 25 basis points exacerbates those problems. Okay, so again, what you need to do, and I'll repeat it again from last week, you got to stamp out inflation and you got to get interest rates down at the same time. Recession is the only thing that does that. Okay, so now let's go back to the Fed decision. The only way you hike, and it was unanimous. Marcos, who runs our momentum portfolio, he and I were just talking on the phone for an hour before I got on the show here. And he and I were just sitting there discussing this. The only reason you would go 25 is because the market's priced it in. What does that tell you? What it tells you is they can talk about their data dependency all they want. What did Powell do in 18? He started hiking into the end of the year, stock market dropped 20%, he panicked and pulled. You go into this problem where you need inflation down and long rates down, and your answer is to increase rates. People go, Zach, do you think you should cut? No, personally, I don't. But what I'm saying is, when you're looking at the problems they are up against, You had two options. Okay. You either go in with a bigger than expected rate cut of somewhere between, or rate hike, somewhere between 50 to 100 basis points. You knock the stuffing out of the stock market, which is a big feeder into inflation. Okay. And at the same time, while you're announcing those rate increases, you relaunch quantitative easing, bring the long end of the rates down, and calm down credit markets so we're not dealing with bank failures. Or you say, hey, we got to buy ourselves some time. We're going to have to deal with higher inflation for a little longer than we thought. We're actually going to cut rates. The most feckless, pointless thing you could do is hike 25. It doesn't address any of the issues. The only thing it does is support equity markets. That's it. So while you're sitting here watching this fire burn from 15 years of 0% interest rate policy, they're worried about the stock market, which has been on the longest bull market run of all time. When you hear Powell sit up there at the podium and tell you that he's worried about the American workers and the American people, don't listen to a word he says. He is bought, owned, and paid for just like the rest of the FOMC by the Wall Street banks, period. We're data dependent? Then explain 25 basis points. The only reason you did it is because it was priced in. And you don't want to tick off Jamie Dimon or Ray Dalio or Ken Griffin because you want them to pay you $3 to $5 million a year after you retire from the Fed to be an economic advisor. Or it's you're Jay Powell, you're already wealthy, you don't need the money, but you want to be, you want to have access to the halls of power. You want to get invited to all the best cocktail parties. These people are feckless. First of all, how did you not see this coming? A schmuck like me sitting in his office in Tacoma, Washington, has been saying for 8 years. It's not hard. Like, if you every day you stay at 0% interest rates, you are increasing the severity of the crisis when you come out of them. This isn't rocket science. You don't need to be a As a matter of fact, the Fed has proven if you're a PhD economist, you won't see it. Because you're looking at your models. Even though your models have walked us into a buzzsaw time and time again for the last 25 years. It is a ridiculous decision. Now, I will still stick to my guns. You put me in the FOMC right now, and I'd have said, listen, guys, we're going 50 to 75. We're going to knock the stuffing out of this stock market and get it back down to some rational stuff. That will address the behavioral side. It will hit people's IRA. Now, listen, I know it's not fun. But we're to a point now because we have pushed and extended. We've been kicking the can so long. The Fed has not woken up to the idea. There is no soft landing. It's not going to happen. Are you kidding me? You've got you all you have left are bad decisions. And the longer you play it out, the worse it's like in our personal lives. Right? Put a problem under the mattress and it goes away. No, it. Hey, just deal with it for God's sakes. Get busy living or get busy dying. Just don't sit there and do nothing. Have some stones for God's sake. Where's your courage? Tim Geithner, in his book, he was the head of the Treasury during the 08-09. He wrote his book, The Courage to Act. You printed $1 trillion of somebody else's money and gave it away. That takes courage. The courage to act? The capitulation. Printing money and giving it. There's no, these people are legends in their own mind, and they are feckless. It is a broken institution that we're proving now does more harm than good. These people are... And I know, look, I don't want to sound like some madman on the... But watching them slow boil this problem for the last 15 years and then scramble and try to act like it's not their fault, it just makes me want to punch a hole in the wall. Well, we got to figure out what's going on at the banks. You know, we're not really sure. If he said that in his presser, And I'm sitting there going, 15 years at 0% rates, Jay? That might have something to do with it. And if you don't know that that's the problem, I don't know what I'm, and I've said this so many times, I'm not sure what concerns me more. If he actually doesn't know what's going on, or if he's lying. And he knows what's going on. He's lying through his teeth. But I'm just, and that's where we're at. We got these officials that have to stand up there and just lie. Because they don't know what to do. Because all they do is look for the painless route out. And now we're in a place where, look, here's the deal, guys. This is how this works. And this is what I've been talking about forever. Fed's still talking about a 2% inflation target. Forget about it. If you want to get to a 2% inflation target, I think you need to see unemployment rates at 7% or north. And when this thing starts unraveling, if you get there, unemployment's going to overshoot that. This economy is being pressured on every single state. The credit tightening we're seeing right now is unlike anything, even going into 08-09. Again, it doesn't make it as bad as 08-09. The problems are different. I'm not trying to elicit panic here, okay? You don't need to worry about that. But I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, you are seeing interest rate volatility we've just never seen before, including the days when Lehman failed. We've seen moves in interest rates that are double the previous records that were right when Lehman failed. And he's worried about the stock market. You know why it does? The bond market is 10 times the size of the stock market. The stock market doesn't even matter. That's what we focus on because it's what people know and what they can relate to. The bond market is what matters. And these people are worried about the stock market. While inflation's too high, even though the stock market's a direct feed into inflation. You need to nuke the stock market and you need to support the bond market. And it buys you time. It allows banks to hedge. That's not a perfect solution, guys, but that's where we're at. Like everything else in our life, when we continue to push a problem under the mattress, when we continue to push it out of our conscience, it doesn't get better. It metastasizes. And you've got people at the helm driving the biggest economy in the history of the world that don't know this. And if that scares you, it should. They're off their bloody... And then you sit up there and you have to listen and go... And you can hear it. You just listen to what he says. We expect inflation will remain here much longer and is much more well-entrenched than we anticipated. So we're going to hike 25 basis points. Pardon? Pardon? Why? With what you just did, with the bank bailouts and BTSP or the bank lending program they just set up, right? That's the equivalent of probably a 50 basis point cut. So you're telling me inflation is more entrenched, going to be here longer than we do, and you just effectively cut rates 25. It doesn't even make sense. The only reason why you do it is because that was the expectation, period. Why are you afraid of not meeting expectations? Because you don't want to upset the stock market. These people are just idiots. They're just idiots. They're owned. They are owned. Like I said, they don't want to quit getting invited to the best parties. They don't want to blow up their golden parachute retirement plan, making $3 to $5 million a year with Bridgewater or Citadel or .72 or pick your poison, Millennium, whatever the case may be. They're just feckless, and they're running this thing right into it. So, and that's your choice. If you're the Fed, that's your choice. Look, there's going to be some pain, which Powell said. They're already backtracking on that. There's been no pain. So here's the deal. You got to make your choice. What are you going to adjust your inflation targets and cop to the market that you will tolerate 4 to 6% inflation? Because if you're not going to take the pain now, that's what you're going to have to do. And it will most likely accelerate. Why do I say that? Britain just got its report and it's running at 10. You're going to be there too. So smack inflation in the face or cut rates. Do something. But no, we're worried about stock markets. We're worried about, we don't want to upset Nvidia's run. We don't want Apple to get hit. What about Costco? It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And now we're sitting here, and we'll get into this more. I've overshot here. You know what? I'll just continue because I should have broken this up. But then, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment. But the economic guys, you're pressured on all sides. Okay? Like, if you don't have a recession here, you've seen the greatest inversion of the 10-year yields and the 3-month yields in history, which has 100% accuracy of recording a recession. Okay? You've seen unprecedented rate volatility. Okay, you're watching automobile sales again fall off a truck. We all know what's going on in residential. The implosion of commercial real estate, specifically A-class office space, is beginning. And when you look at what needs to be done, because you can't just fix A-class office space by lowering rates. You just have way less people that are working in offices on top of that. There are no easy fixes. And so I look at it and my solution is raise rates. Let's take the pain, launch QE at the same time, stabilize the bond market so banks don't fold up, buys us some time. Banks can adjust balance sheets. We can address some issues. We knock some starch out of the market, should take some pressures off inflation. No, can't do that. It's a joke. It's a joke. And what's coming down the pipe if they keep doing this? If their approach is this feckless, guys, you're walking down a path now. If they continue down this path, every day they do this, the consequences from either decision, either accepting higher than normal inflation rates or saying we're going to recession, each one of those is intensifying. Right? Because what they've got to do, if they take the easy path out, which they will eventually, they will capitulate. I think they're going to be cutting rates no matter what at some point in the summer. And guys, you can't appreciate it. You got to take my word for it. You just have to look at the macroeconomic indicators. They're falling off a bloody cliff everywhere. Banks are under pressure. Financing's under pressure. Commercial real estate is a dead man walking. Not broadly speaking. There's a lot of pockets that'll be okay, but specifically commercial A-class office space. And the problem is that's the biggest loans, right? Those are the biggest, fanciest, most expensive buildings. So when you're going to be dealing with 50 to 70% write downs on much, well, a lot of this stuff, remember that's money burning. That is a blow because that loan, if a bank loaned $3 billion on a big office building, right, that's sitting as an asset on their balance sheet. So when they have to write that loan down, boom, there's a $1.5 to $2 billion hole blown right in the side of their balance sheet. Add that on top of the duration problem and there's your stress. And if you want to, and I got to wrap this up here, but if you guys, this is why we focus on risk management. We're batting down the hatches, baby. We're a little bit short exposure here. We're long government bonds. We're just, our attitude is I'm on out of this thing. We're just going to sit here and let the madness ensue. Maybe the market runs, maybe it doesn't. This ain't the environment to be taking chances. This is why we do what we do, risk management. If you see the problems I'm talking about, you don't want to get blown up, call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Risk. Got to take a quick break. Going to go. We'll be right back after the break. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
We're talking with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now as you see it?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Due to all the money printing from central banks in the long period of zero interest rates, some serious inflation has hit, I'm sure you're aware. And inflation crushes bonds. We've been talking about it for 7 years. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy. You do need one. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. This shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still get market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK. or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, guys, I want to be very careful because I, as you could tell probably from the opening segment, I'm a little fired up. I want to be careful. And the reason I want to be careful is because this is a very fluid situation and we have the ability here to pivot on a dime. I know a lot of you listening to this probably manage your own money. You don't. I'm not telling you the world's about ready to collapse. Okay. I just don't see the problem as being that bad. I think we've got some really unfun, tough choices in front of us. I think the dream bubble of 0% interest rates and zero financial gravity when living, that bill is coming due. That's what you're seeing here. Okay, so what I'm telling you is not that the world's about ready to end, to run for the hills, buy gold and short the entire thing. What I'm telling you is that you must manage risk here. Okay, I'm also telling you something that long duration U.S. government bonds are getting more attractive by the day. And that's coming from the guy that's been on the radio telling you to get out of bonds for 7 years. Okay. Why? Well, part of it's being a value investor. Everybody's afraid of it. Listen to people. They're all right now. I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine, actually a buddy of mine from high school, who has a construction company. You know what? Before I go forward with this, I forgot something in my opening segment. I've got some dear friends of mine, clients and dear friends, who are going through something. David and Kelly. First of all, I just want you guys to know that we're praying for you and we're thinking about you. And a lot of faith that things are going to turn out well. But for the believers out there, if you could throw a prayer their way, I'd really appreciate it. Like I said, dear friends, great clients, and just want them to know you're not walking through this alone. And a lot of people are thinking about you. A lot of people care about you. And by God's good grace, we'll get through this. So hang in there. And as always, you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of me. So, and like I said, if you guys could throw a prayer out there for him as well, I'd be greatly appreciated. A health issue that Kelly's dealing with. And I think all of us married men know that, you know, it's watching your wife or kids go through something that you can't, that you can't fix or address. It's torture. Anyway, so God bless you both. And we're praying for you. But it's always hard to pivot back to stuff when you're dealing with real life. We've been dealing with a lot of that lately. But getting back to my discussion that I was having with my friend of mine from high school, who's also a client now. And he's also an astute investor. But everybody's like, yeah, just you gotta, guys. In my opinion, and this isn't a recommendation. In my opinion, you should have been worried about rates going up, hitting bonds about a year and a half ago when we were pounding on the table telling you that. Well, I mean, we've been pounding on the table to get out of bonds for years. Now I think it's the exact opposite, right? When everybody is afraid now to own long-dated bonds, we want to own them. It's kind of the way investing works, right? It doesn't always work that way. But, you know, we joke for years, when will we know it's a good time to get in bonds? Right about the time that everybody else says they want out, okay? That's what's happening. Look at all these people buying bonds. Vast majority of these people are buying the short end. I'm loading up on 20 and 30 years. Now, again, I'm not advising you do that because something could change and we could pivot out of that situation in a minute. Here's my point. I just don't think the risk of, right, those long bonds will lose money if interest rates go up. I think that is the least likely outcome at this point. And that's kind of why we've just said, you know, we still own some of our favorite stocks, specifically those that generate or pay really solid dividends, have fortress balance sheets, are solid, and have exposure to inflationary assets. Other than that, yesterday morning, market was ripping out of the open. Tech was up 2.5. We were selling into it. Why? Because, guys, the writing is on the wall. Okay? Literally. You can't point to a sector of the economy, and it's kind of writ large on a global basis, that isn't under pressure. We're dealing with inflation rates that we haven't seen in 40 years in developed markets the world over. We haven't seen them. And at the same time, dealing with contracting credit and bank issues. It is a toxic brew because the way you deal with credit issues and bank problems stimulates inflation. And this is what we've been saying for years. If they continue on this path, they're going to box themselves into a corner. And again, I'll go back to just life lessons. If you don't address problems when you can, you will be forced to address them when you can't. You can only kick the can so far, and the bill will come due, because it always has. And now that bill's coming due, and these feckless morons at the controls are passing. And I want to be like, no, you don't get to do that. You wreck it, you own it. But they won't. And the media won't hold them accountable because the vast majority of the schmucks out there think positive monetary policy is anything that makes stocks go up. That's it. What about doing the right thing? And herein lies the problem. Because everybody likes stocks going up. Look, I manage money for a living. I do too. I'm not being a hypocrite. It's a lot easier to make money in markets to just keep floating higher. It's a lot easier to give your kids Skittles and Coke at 9 o'clock at night because that's what they want. You don't want to hear them complain. It's easier to let them stay up all night and not go to bed because you don't want to hear them complain and gripe. But we do it. It's easier to eat McDonald's every single day. Why don't we? Because we don't want to be 400 pounds and die of heart disease. Why is it that in monetary policy, we don't accept this reality? And like is true in our personal life, this is where you end up. You end up in a position where all you've got is pain on either side of you. You're either going to have to deal with significantly higher inflation rates for longer, or you got to go through a recession. Now, what do I think they should do? I don't think it's a question. Bring on the recession. Knock the starch out of the market. Let's lower inflation. Why? Because in knocking the stock market, a little bout of deflation is good. It's going to clean out the systems. It gives us a chance to reset. Inflation is the killer, right? If we're talking about global threats, like deflation is like COVID, right? It's going to stink. It's not going to be fun, right? It's going to really inhibit travel, right? It's really similar to COVID. It's not a lot of fun, right? Inflation is like getting hit by an asteroid. And that's not being hyperbolic, right? When you load up a world with this much debt, you're seeing what happens when inflation sets in. Furthermore, there is no country or any currency on the face of the earth that ever toppled or went out of existence because its currency went too high. Because that's what deflation is, right? It's currency going up in value, assets going down. What's ended everything, including Chinese dynasties? Inflation. But, you know, deflation makes the stock market go down and investors won't be as happy. These people are just idiots and they've got a death wish. Or you know, they don't, because they're rich either way, right? They're fine, right? Regardless of which one of these outcomes plays out, it's not going to affect Powell or Yellen. It doesn't affect them. Well, we care about the American people. Yeah, right. You care about as much as the American people. You spend as much time worried about the American people as Congress, right? Quit talking to me and show me. If you cared about the American people, you'd have had some stones and done what was right 10 years ago or at any year in between then and now. And even now, when we're sitting here looking at the reality of it, and that's what I'm saying, guys, the contraction in credit, you've got 2 million square feet of Class A office space in Bellevue that's vacant. Okay, if Bellevue has that much vacant, what do you think is going to happen to Seattle? Why? Well, because I think you're going to see migration of companies to that office space in Bellevue. Why? Because there aren't people defecating on the porch of offices in Bellevue. Okay, so if you've got that much square footage vacant in Bellevue, just wait. Seattle's going to be right there, probably worse. And these people are stuck because when those loans come due, you got to remember on loans like that, they're typically financed at 5-year terms with a balloon payment at the end. Okay, so they got to refinance. If they refinance, they're massively underwater on a cash flow basis. They can't do it. The other issue is, like I said, it's not just, even if you drop rates, you still got a problem because you don't have enough people that want to rent it from you. What do you need to do? You got to take the hit. It's going to happen. You got to write those loans down. There's no way out. And here's what's happened just since the banks tightened, right? Just since this little banking issue picked up, credit is contracting rapidly. That to me is the biggest warning sign, right? This economy can power through pretty much anything, especially with there's still a lot of cash in the system. Can't deal with that. What are used car rates up to? I heard the other day, used car loans are up to 14%. It is such a mess. And then when the wolves are at the door, when this problem that has literally been on the back burner simmering since 08-09, when the wolves finally show up at the door, they do nothing. Because we don't want to upset the stock. Guys, you got to upset something, okay? And every day you let this go on, the problem just gets more intense. What does all this mean? Let's bring it back down. Look, I'd love to sit there and tell you, well, there's some clever trades in here. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. And this is why we build our portfolios the way we do. Okay, our value portfolio has almost negative risk exposure right now. Any given day, it could be up a little, down a little, depending on the movements of the things we have in there. But we are the equivalent of standing behind a stone wall right now. We're not taking, why? Because there's nothing good out there. And then you go over and look at the equity markets, they're still on drugs. Right, like I said, stock market right now is the idiot in the back of the class chewing on crayons. You're trading at 21.5 times earnings with this backdrop. Look, if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. As a fiduciary and as a risk manager, this is a no-go. I sit this one out. We're gonna batten down the hatches. We're gonna hedge the positions we've got, and we're just sitting there and saying no bueno, no good. Now. Is it potential that they could do something crazier? Yeah, anything. You can't put anything by these people. And you got to understand what drives their policy. It's, can we find a solution that lessens the pain? It doesn't matter what problems it creates down the road. And if they haven't proved that to you right now, nothing will. I just think that they're pinched. They're just backed into a corner here, and we just don't have good options. And what I fear is if they take the easy way out, right, try to save the stock market, you're going to have a stagflationary environment, right? Because if you go the inflationary route, there's only so much you can do on the interest rate side. So the refinance problem on so many of these things is still going to be there, right? You're going to further bleed consumers. You're going to go into recession either way. And my whole thing is let's rip off the bloody Band-Aid. Let's just deal with it. Crank up the rates. You could even hit it with 100 basis point interest rate hike and run quantitative easing. Because this is what you got to do. Because you've done it. You put it here. It's like driving a car into a ditch and not going to, well, I don't want to get my shoes dirty. You've got to. You shouldn't have been driving 90 miles an hour when it was raining. You don't have a choice. And you're probably going to get a lot more than your shoes dirty. Well, it's a really expensive suit. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, you should have thought about that before you hit 90. Going around a turn when it's raining. And here we are. And like I said, the credit contraction, we're looking at, now I have not confirmed this, but I've heard it from a very reliable source who I really like. He was telling me that you have seen loan to value. So on the commercial real estate sector, just in the last month, you're watching the amount that they will loan to the value of things dropping 15 to 20%. So if you could get 80% a bank to loan against 80% of the asset before, now you're at like 60 to 65%. If they had loaned at 65%, you're at like 45 to 50%, right? What is that? That's a massive credit contraction. Okay, so sit there and think to yourself, if the banks are going to loan less against the asset, you got to come up with more cash and you've got to finance it at a high rate. It's not going to happen. It's no good. What do you need? Write downs. They're coming. You can try to delay it as much as you want. Problem's going to get more extreme. Do I discount the fact that they're going to try to do? No, that's what they always do. He did it at the last meeting. 25 bit. What good does that do? You're not addressing any of the problems. Cut or raise higher. Do something. The thing that's so disgusting about this, guys, is, again, I'm not a PhD economist from Harvard. I'm not an Ivy League. I don't even have a CFA. You don't have to be a genius to figure this stuff out. You just have to look. And this is why we do what we do. Like I said, it's why we have the two stock portfolios. Value's all buried. You know, we're bared up. We're tightening it in. We're not taking chances. And if we're wrong, momentum portfolio on the other side will grab onto that momentum and ride it up. I'm just sitting there, and I had that discussion with Marcos this morning, and I said, look, there is a potential that I could be wrong, but as a fiduciary, if what is happening right now just continues, I can't look at my clients and go, well, I thought the market was going to rally. Really? In the greatest rate inversion of all time, when every sector of the economy is blowing up at the same time, and the Fed is feckless and scared to death to do what needs to be done, you were looking for a rally? Now, that may happen. I mean, you've seen Netflix rally 15% over the last couple of days because some research department came out and said they've had more signups in Canada than they anticipated. So, I mean, you still have the equity markets are chewing crayons in the back of the class, like is usually the case. They're the last ones to get the memo. Okay, would I discount those morons' ability to run this thing high? No, I'm just saying it's just no good on a risk-reward basis. I don't like it, and you shouldn't either, especially if you're close to retirement, guys, and this is why we do what we do. You can be positioned like that, where if we're wrong and things go up fine, you'll make money. But if what is happening right now, and like I'm saying, if you think there's not going to be recession, then there was never a reason to expect a recession in the past. Okay, never. So if you don't think that's going to happen, then by all means, right? Stay long risk assets. But I'm just saying they're not cheap. There's really bad value there. So that's not there. Credit markets are tightening drastically. And like I said, credit markets are the red light that is just solid red. You're in the most debt reliant and debt driven economy on the face of the earth. When that starts tightening, get out. That's why I said when rates go up, get out. The game is over. Now, what I think, again, they're going to start printing. There's going to be wonderful buying opportunities on the other side of this, but you got to make sure you're insulated from the bloodletting that looks like it's almost certainly coming down. So call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter, at KYRRadio. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
We're talking to Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, what's the number one concern with people's investments right now?
Without a doubt, it's inflation, and it's here. With all the money printing from the Fed and long period of zero interest rates, the bills come and due, and inflation's going up. And when inflation rises, bonds get smoked. We've been saying it for years. If you're using bonds in the old school 60-40 mix with stocks as the safe portion of your portfolio, you're taking a risk in today's inflationary environment.
So what should our listeners do?
If you're worried about inflation, we believe that you should consider getting out of bonds and get educated with Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing. Learn how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still seek to grow your assets.
Call Zach now for your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And once again, my favorite time of the show, where I just don't have to listen to myself talk, joined by a special guest today. We have not had him on before, but I've been looking forward to this for 2 weeks. I think he's got some really applicable experience that will help us, I think, walk through a lot of what's going on and understand it on another level. And as always, I like it because He's actually a guy taking live fire. He's running a macro fund. So I'm happy to introduce Steve Mirren of Amberwave Partners. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
You bet. Well, let's run through. So PhD in economics from Harvard. So like I told him, he wasn't at the bottom of his high school class. That's good news. He said they're letting anybody in Harvard these days. And I said, well, I'm not anybody, apparently.
Almost anybody.
You spent a year working at the Treasury during all the COVID stuff, all that craziness. But give us kind of your bio. So you got the PhD from Harvard. Kind of give us so we know who we're dealing with here, your professional arc. What got you to this point?
Sure. So, I mean, I guess when I, finished college, I went to grad school thinking, at the age of 20, 21, no idea what I wanted to do. And so the best thing to do is to continue being a student. So I went to grad school and did a PhD. Towards the end of my PhD, decided I didn't really want to be a professor. I thought that most of the problems that professors, that, academics work on, seemed to me to be too far removed from, from the real problems the world goes through. And particularly, I was finishing my PhD in the height of the global financial crisis. And, sort of hearing some of the recommendations that professors were making, that a lot of these really famous professors were making, that seemed so far removed from the way the real world works, really sort of drove me nuts. And I thought, this stuff is, it's not so great. So I went into investing, which of course I love because I get to deal with the big picture issues of the day every day. Worked in investing for, I guess, 10 years or so. And then, 2020 and COVID happened. And, the world was falling apart. The economy was in the biggest shock in, since the Great Depression. I had the opportunity to go help out and pitch in a hand at Treasury and said, this is really once in a lifetime opportunity to help out in the country's moment of need and to be involved in this stuff. And I took it. And so I spent a year at Treasury during the pandemic when, of course, it was a very, very busy time for everyone involved. And then with the change in management at the Treasury Department in the beginning of 2021, left to go off and start my own firm. And so here we are managing macro portfolios and, trying to make heads or tails of a situation, which, as you can tell, is pretty volatile.
it's interesting timing because and you may completely disagree with me. And this is a free to disagree zone, just so you know. One of the reasons I want to have guys like you on, just so you know, if you hear me say something you disagree with, fire back. Right. Because it just iron sharpens iron. I do this as much to, inform our listeners as I do to learn myself. But macro was kind of a dead horse there for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, right now it's in the front of everybody's mind. And I've seen things. You'd be better to know this. What I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is that there has been a pretty good flight to macro funds as of late.
Yeah, I don't disagree that macro was a bit of a dead horse for a while. And, we were living in a world in which policymakers were interested in crushing volatility anywhere and everywhere it showed up, right? And if policymakers, are waging war on macro volatility and you're a macro investor, you're not going to have that many fat pitches to swing at. Now, of course, policy is pushing macro volatility higher everywhere you look, right? So we've gone from a world in which you had, one, maybe two fat pitches a year, in which you have seemingly one to two a month, which, of course, means a lot more opportunity. So, my own view is that the asset allocation world that we lived in for the last 15 years or so pre-COVID, I guess 12 years since the GFC, is going to be flipped on its head. Macro was an unexciting asset class. Think about it. In 2020, right, we had the biggest economic shock since the Great Depression. And because of what we did at Treasury and what our colleagues did at the Fed, the recession lasted 2 months. Right? And by the end... by the end of the year, stocks were at all-time highs, right? So, that is what policymakers did in order to control economic volatility, and that meant that macro was a dead horse, as you say, and in strategies which reduced to levered beta, right? Whether that's in public markets or in private markets, right? Strategies like real estate, PE, VC, all did phenomenally well. Public market strategies like, levered relative value strategies did very well also. And all those strategies, I think, do significantly worse when there's meaningful macro volatility, particularly on interest rates. as a result, I think we're sort of set for a reversal of that over the next decade. You know, I think that it's, you know, volatility, I don't think, is going away. I've been saying that for, you know, a long time now, that volatility, I think, is here to stay for a while. And it's not just monetary policy and fiscal policy, right? We talk a lot about the structural drivers of inflation that have nothing to do with monetary policy, right? Things like geopolitics, land wars, fights over commodity resources, reshoring supply chains, industrial policy, right? There's now a view, in a way that there wasn't a view 2 years ago, that just importing cheap stuff from China because it's, you know, because it may be economically efficient isn't really good for the country, because it makes you vulnerable to, you know, someone in China waking up on the wrong side of the bed and suddenly your supplier, you know, is shut down, or your customer is sanctioned for some reason, you know, because they evaded sanctions or something, right? So I think exactly what you said. We're going to go into the next decade with macro being a persistent outperformer, and lots of those other strategies that really were reliant on calm markets and cheap balance sheet, critically cheap balance sheet for the sake of leverage. You know, I think that those are going to struggle.
All right, guys. Due to time constraints, we got to cut the interview off right here. But as always, listen to the rest of this. He's a really sharp dude with really applicable background and knowledge. So I think you're really going to want to hear what Steve has to say. He is a little less bearish than I am, so that'll be interesting to hear the rest of, you know, the reasons why that is. Go to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You can just Google it. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You name it, it's out there, okay? And if you do that, just subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything, doesn't obligate anything. Again, it just helps us get more listeners. So anyway, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Listen to the rest of this interview. We'll see you next week. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at Know Your Risk Radio. And as always, guys, call us. There's a better way. You don't have to sit there and take this on the chin. 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.